future is just a different way of designing. It's not, oh my gosh, I got to get married and have children, the social norms.
I'll have what she's having.
It is April 17th, 2016. This is the Our Better Half podcast, and I am Laura Collins Listermensch, whose midlife crisis project is talking about sex over 50. Our guests will be Kristen Darcy, Tamara Green, and Dr. Diana Kirshner about dating after divorce. And we'll hear from Anura Guruge, author of Orgasms, 100 Facts and Trivia. All right, kiddies, we need to have a talk, the sex talk. We know you don't need to learn about the birds and bees because internet and Game of Thrones and Lena Dunham, but we need to have a long-delayed and awkward talk about sex, so let's just get started. Kids, do you know where parents come from? Explaining conception is easy peasy, but we need to, and I know it's kind of late here, we apologize, but we need to talk to you about parent sex. Don't roll your eyes. For some reason, the talk about parent sex is way more awkward and often simply never gets done, but it's time to move forward. Your parents have sex. Yes, we do. We've tried to hide that from you, or at least shield you for long enough. If you thought about it, I mean, you would have figured it out, but we thought you'd ask questions when you were ready, but you're not. So you're adults now, and it's time that you knew that parents have sexual lives. There's no need for intimate details, don't worry, but we do need to discuss some things so we'll all be happier in the coming decades. We need you to knock for a start. Call ahead. And if you don't, then don't be shocked. We knock. We need privacy too. And not just because we need to put in our teeth. The eye rolling, ew, get a room, and laughing has got to stop. It is not cute or gross that we have an intimate life. It's just life, like yours. We accepted you have sex lives. We need the same in return. Don't open the bedroom doors. We're tired of hiding stuff, and we're not sharing. Single and widowed parents have sex too. We may not be on Tinder, but we enjoy tender moments. Especially now that nests are emptying and we're settled, we don't need to set up house. We'll try to let you know if it reaches breakfast guest level, and we promise to practice safe sex. Probably you may need to teach us more about that at some point. We masturbate too, by the way. Always have. Sorry you didn't realize that. And listen, if we've moved on to some polyamory or kink or group sex or sex yoga, well, it's too late to corrupt your morals. We realize that we didn't do that great a job on having the talk with you. Listen, we're from generations that tended to either overshare or overprotect, but we really didn't have role models for this. We talked about our fears, yes, but talking about the pleasures with your offspring lacks language and customs, and we're sorry. We did better than the generation before. There used to be more of a tradition of this when men and women were separate and unequal and sex was for men, but that was better left behind, and it's all kind of new now each generation. If we had it to do over, we would talk more, even when you squealed. But we were the first generations to have both birth control and AIDS. We'd finally started talking about sexual abuse, child abuse, predators. We were terrified of being seen as creepy or uncool. You will do better. In fact, maybe this talk will help. We probably forgot, while we were throwing condoms and appropriate sexplanation books at you, to mention the part about it being fun, like really fun. You hated it when we let on that it was for us, and we let that shut us up. But you're old enough now. Congratulations. Welcome to awkward. And you're welcome. You're going to need it with your kids when you're old. Now, when it reaches the point that you get involved with our healthcare and prescriptions, you may learn about and need to consider our whole selves, not just the parental side we showed you. Adult diapers and Viagra, lube and lipstick. We're not dead till we're dead, children. Aging is not a fairy tale, and some of our parts may check out before we do. Before we're done, we may get various disabilities or take on some pain issues or illness. Please don't think that that makes us sexless or over all that. Assume that we are still sexually active and interested, just as we'll still be hungry and need a warm bed. At some point, one or both of us, and all the step-parents that we've given you, may need extra care. But that doesn't mean we stop caring. Going to a nursing home doesn't make us sexless children. And as you're helping us get care, keep our romantic and sexual needs in mind. And if the declining health or death of a partner steals that from us, then that is some of what we mourn. Should we lose our memory, we may wander off into a happy moment with a person not your parent. We give you permission now to reassure the staff that this is okay as long as both parties, or the whole group, are happy. Don't let your youthful prudery spoil our fun. And as you clean up our stuff, we may have left mementos, we may have left evidence of poor choices, so as you find them, do not judge. There may be items of a nature that you think we should have thrown away, but here's the good and the bad news. It never feels like time to stop being alive or time to hide the evidence. As you come alongside our youth and pleasures, so have we been there for yours. We actually did want you to enjoy your love lives and sex all along, though we struggled at times to say that. And let us say now that we hope you have a happy old sexual life too, when you're old enough. We're trying something new today. Instead of interviewing one person or a couple, I have three guests at the same time today. Not just three guests, but three distinguished guests. The topic is dating after divorce, especially a divorce that involved a high degree of conflict. Kristen Darcy is an author and life coach with a passion for helping others through divorce. Last week, she held a 4-day virtual Divorcing Intact Summit with over a dozen speakers, including herself and two other of our guests. She had the idea of having a reunion and discussion with Tamara Green, who served as her love mentor. And they were introduced by Dr. Diana Kirshner, the PBS love expert, psychologist, and best-selling author. I'm going to apologize in advance for the sound quality, which isn't as clear for Tamara Green as the other ladies, but their marvelous chemistry and joy at being together is crystal clear. I'm very pleased to welcome Kristen Darcy. She is an author and life coach, and we're going to have a conversation today about the question of conflict and separation and dating after divorce, especially as it regards sexuality. And we have some special guests joining us as well. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak about this topic that has grown near and dear to my heart. So I appreciate this time with you.
Tell me some history on this for you.
Well, I was married for 17 years, and all the otherness came out of that marriage, and I made the decision to move forward and seek a divorce. And it's almost like you don't know what you don't know until you're in the middle of it. Unfortunately, this became an extremely high-conflict divorce. And one weekend when I was alone, you know, my children were with their father, you know, that seems for me and for other women, too, to be, you know, such a challenging time. I was on my laptop on Facebook, and lo and behold, Dr. Diana Kirshner, who's online and we'll be hearing from in a little bit, was on a video. And I watched her. I had known about her for a little bit and watched the video and really felt drawn that evening. And I don't know if it was the sadness or the loneliness or the confusion about, you know, after being intertwined with this person for 17 years and then, you know, waking up in kind of a nightmarish situation of, you know, I don't know what it was, but some whispering said, you know, reach out to Dr. Diana. And I did. And so I reached out to Dr. Diana, and she offered a complimentary 30-minute connection with a love mentor who turned out to be the wonderful Tamara Green, who's on the line. But what happened for me in that moment, and it's almost that split second decision, right, to take action for healing, was when I reached out and had this first conversation with Tamara. I realized how unconscious I was about, you know, you said sexuality, and it is sexuality, but it's also, I was unconscious about how I wanted to move forward or who I wanted to be attracting in my life, and how do you balance that for other women or going through this high conflict divorce? How do you balance that? How do you come back to you, to your truth, and move forward and you know, get out there again? So that's a little bit how we are here today talking about this. And you know, because I had great friends around me, a posse around me, who, you know, one haphazard night put me up on Match. And it wasn't because I was thinking I wanted to be there. It was kind of like, okay, let's get her up on Match. And once again, it was an unconscious choice. But then when I was brought into the fold, suppose, you know, the way to say it, with Dr. Diana and Tamara Green, there was a conscious way of really thoughtfully and delicately thinking of who you are now. You know, who is your identity? Who do you want to, you know, portray? Or who are you now after this amazing life lesson? And how are you going to carry yourself into the next relationship if you're ready for that next relationship?
May I ask you to briefly describe this, the kind of conflicts that you were experiencing and how that affected you?
Well, the conflicts within the high conflict divorce was really the unwinding of all the patterns that I was not aware of that was happening in my marriage. And the conflict was, you know, child custody and financial and emotional, and why I was dealing with all of that, the unwinding of the marriage, the new roles as parents, and, you know, shepherding my children through this very high conflict divorce. You know, was there space enough for me to create space to be a woman who could have an intimate relationship with another man? So Tamara was so amazing at helping me, you know, more, because I'm so spiritually based, instead of it being psychotherapy that you go and talk about your problems, it was really spiritually sparking how I wanted to shift. And it was energetic, you know, energetic of releasing the past and finding, you know, finding how you want to act on a date. You know, we would have a couple good chuckles after I had a date about, you know, energetically who I still was attracting, which was very similar to my ex-husband. It was hard to walk both worlds, if you would, you know, be in the past and the present and then hoping for a wonderful future.
So would you like to introduce the other guests?
I would. I am so excited to have my wonderful friend now, who's a friend and my love mentor, Tamara Green. She came to me in a time that was really such a challenge. You know, Dr. Diana, who's still on the line, who'll be speaking a little bit, she, you know, she was so helpful looking over, you know, a bio or coming to my essence, you know, figuring out how I was like blossoming into this new woman, you know, this new part of sexuality that I was, you know, looking to create. But for right now, I'd love for everyone to meet Tamara Green, and maybe Tamara can just tell everybody about, you know, about how our relationship came to be, but what you do.
Oh, absolutely. Hello, beautiful, sparkly Kristen. You know, it's so funny because, but do you remember, Kristen, when we, coming up with your diamond self name, and definitely the word sparkle, sparkly sparkle. It was great. And so what happens in divorce, right? It's pretty much of a crisis. And so when I met Kristen, we had an instant connection, and I was so excited that she was really interested in the energy work and the spirituality, because that's, right where we went. And she was able to really get back to that place of who she really is and really operate from that place. And she's just such a light. She's such a beautiful light in this world. She is to so many women, with her as a fertility coach. And you know, she's doing like an impact divorce summit coming up in April. But to come back to that light and acknowledge the light that she is, that beautiful sparkly light and what she puts out there in this world. So for me, it was just kind of coming in, and the love mentor is like the fairy godmother who just loves you like a really, unconditionally loving mother. But at the same time, you're like the wing woman or the wing man who's also, we know what your goal is, and we're going to make sure that you stay the course, that you're not getting off course, and that you actually make your destination of love, or getting through a divorce, or whatever you're hiring a love mentor for. But I just totally loved my work with Kristen, and it's still, we have an amazing connection and friendship to this day. But I'm wondering, Dr. Diana Kirshner, I would love, is it okay if I introduce you now to the wonderful love guru in this entire planet, Dr. Diana Kirshner, and talk about the wonderful diamond self-work that you do in this world? I just love it.
Hi, this is Dr. D. I'm so excited to be with all of you. This is fantastic. Really, going through a divorce can often feel like you are destroyed. It can feel like you are not attractive. I know, Laura, you wanted to talk about some of the sexual aspects, particularly if you have been starved out sexually in the marriage, or if there has been cheating and betrayal. You can often come out of that situation just feeling, that you are not desirable, having really lost your mojo. And part of the work that we do, that Tamara and I do, is helping a woman find that mojo, find that sensual nature again, find that feeling good in herself and in her body. We call that the diamond self-work. And it's so thrilling and exciting to be able to help someone out of that shattered place, out of that darkness, and into a new level of self-love, and a new level of really being able to date and to have fun. A lot of the women who, come through that process, they're like teenagers again, right, Tamara? It's such a delight. It's such a delight. It doesn't matter how old they are. They're in their 60s. They're like, I'm really having so much fun, with my new diamond self feeling and my freedom and my new diamond self name. We have them, we ask them to give themselves diamond self names like Amazing Grace, Beloved Mighty Isis, or like Kristen did, the Sparkly One. There's such a power to it. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, even before the dating starts, they're just starting to have really fun. Like their life becomes an adventure again. I don't know, Kristen, if you remember how much we laughed during our sessions. And it was just so wonderful to see, your sparkle just come out every single time that we spoke.
Yeah, that was the part. It was never out, but it was sure just a little flicker at the beginning. And you know what is so powerful about the environment of, women connecting in a sisterly way, and Dr. Diana always, uses the word fairy godmother, it's that, we have lost that communal connection, sister connection, because of, you know, geographic location and everything that's happening, you know, and technology, you know, we've lost that connection. And I think for me, you know, that moment of choice of reaching out to Dr. Diana, who connected me with Tamara, who I really feel it was a soul contract. I feel like there was a divine mm-hmm. intervention to bring this to be, that, you know, it was the love and care that I needed at that moment. And going back to the sexuality point, and it was, it can be crippling when you're, you know, when you're faced with some information and faced with a transition and a traumatic transition out of a marriage or out of a relationship. And what I had thought at the beginning was that, oh, I'm going to get on Match and I'm going to date and I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do all this stuff. But you know what? That wasn't really me. You know, that wasn't really my way of being in the world. And what Tamara and Dr. Diana had helped me with was, you know what, you are who you are. And once again, it was a thoughtful way of approaching how I want to, you know, connect with someone else. And what, at the end of the day, this did for me was to bring me back to my truth, but bring me back to my self-worth. And, you know, at the beginning we talked about the trauma of a divorce and the trauma of the psyche of a divorce and who you are and your identity. But it was really a stripping away that happened over a long period of time of self-worth. And so after Tamara and Dr. Diana and I, you know, our official, you know, coming together for, you know, psychotherapy or coaching or whatever, it was really for me to be confident in to who I truly am. And it was such a blessing. It was such a rebirth and a process. So I really, you know, don't think that I would have managed that time in my life if I hadn't taken that action. And if I hadn't taken the action with Dr. Diana on the video saying, reach out to me and have your free, you know, complimentary call, because it was truly that. The fairy light energy came in and lifted me through that time. So in essence, it's not about sexuality, about having that sexual act with someone else, but it really, really, truly is going back to your divine sexual worth and what that energy is and how creative it is.
Could I ask you all to give a couple thoughts to offer a little bit of advice to older people, men and women, who are experiencing divorce and are looking at their future?
It was such an aha moment when I was like, wow, you know, being 50 and dating is so amazing, because if you think back over your lifetime, when you date, you know, what is it? You know, love and marriage, and then comes the baby carriage, and then the home and the mortgage and all this stuff. But now in my lifetime, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for a partner, for someone who is honoring. So in a way, it's such freedom now. You know, it's just a sense of freedom in connecting with people, because it isn't that, for me, pressure about the future. The future is just a different way of designing. It's not, oh my gosh, I got to get married and have children, the social norms. It's really more of a lighter feeling, if that makes sense. And so I think you to go back to your beliefs about yourself, and then go back to what your intention is and what are you looking for. You know, be open to just having that fun instant moment. But Tamara, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that was great. It's a very quick suggestion, but it's about really being in your body. So just checking in with your body. Your body is what is the very sexualness part of you. I mean, there's a sexual energy as well. But if you just take 10 deep breaths, or just focus on your feet, because what happens is, especially when we get older, we think, am I still attractive? Do I really want to get naked in front of a guy? Oh my gosh, you know, you're so in your head that you really have to be in your body to start to feel your own sexual energy, which is powerful. I don't care how old you are, what your dress size is, it doesn't matter. When your sexual energy is coming out, you are irresistible to a man, absolutely irresistible. So go ahead, take 10 deep breaths and follow your breaths in and out. Feel your feet and ankles and lower the energy out of your head and into your body. And if you need to get a pedicure to get yourself really into, you know, focus on your feet or your body, go ahead and do that. It's a great thing to do, like, before a date. Get into your body. How about you, Dr. Diane?
Well, that is just wonderful. I love what both of you said. And I would add that there are so many people who, through our Love Mentoring Program, have actually found that not only do they find a partner who's better for them than they've ever had, they will often find a whole sexual fulfillment that they've never had, because they've come to a point in their lives where they are mature about really what they want. They're able to create a real intimacy, and it starts with being on the same wavelength and having a real open, honest kind of intimacy that then opens that energy with someone who is the right person, who's really there on your wavelength, to have that energetic connection that is a sensual sexual connection. It doesn't matter. Some of the women in our Love Mentoring Program are well through menopause, and yet they're having the best sexual connection they've ever had. They're having a better experience. They know about giving to themselves. They can make sure that they have what they need in the bedroom as well as outside the bedroom. And it's amazing to me what can be created. I mean, you do not have to slow down in any way, you know, because you're older or, you know, expect things to not be there. It's actually surprising to most of our Love Mentor clients what can be generated. It's really
great.
Right.
I've had so many Love Mentees say, I've had more orgasms in the last 3 weeks than I have in my entire 30-year marriage.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That's great.
Exactly.
That is the perfect note to go out on, ladies. Tamara Green, Diana Kirshner, Kristen Darcy, thank you so much for being guests on the podcast.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much.
So, you may ask, how's Kristen's dating life now? I reached out to her for a postscript, and here in part is what she said. She said she's not dating right now. She has too much to juggle with college visits and end of school year things, proms, dances, finals, between all that and working full time. She says, I'm looking forward to summer and connecting and dating during that time. It seems to ebb and flow, this dating thing. My children are my priority. Their psychological safety, emotional well-being, and helping them be who they're meant to be. But I know there's someone out there to bring joy into the mix. Drama free. This week, as we all take a break to do our Kegel exercises to strengthen our pelvic floor, we'll enjoy everyone's favorite Kegel sound effect as we squeeze and relax our most intimate old muscles. Guruge has given a lot of thought to the phenomena of orgasm. Most people probably spend more time on pursuing orgasms than gathering conversation starters about them, but Anura Guruge wrote a book called Orgasms, 101 Facts and Trivia. Do you want to meet him? Hello, Anura.
Hi, how are you?
It's very nice to talk with you.
Same here. Thank you.
The first question I like to ask my guests is, what did you, when you were a child, dream of doing when you grew up?
I wanted to be a pilot, but my eyesight didn't cooperate, so I had to do other things.
Mm. And what did you do in your career?
I kind of drifted into computers very early on in 1969. And even though I resisted trying to have a career in computers, tried to be a game warden in Africa, that didn't pan out. So ended up in computers, turned out to be fairly good for me. And I also started writing at that time. I used to do a lot of seminars, and people asked me, why don't you put some of your words into a book? And in the early 1980s, and I know you're an author, I wrote my first book, and I've been writing ever since. So even though my proper career was in computers, and I worked for companies like IBM, I was a consultant for nearly 30 years, I really think of myself as a writer, because all of my adult life, I have been writing.
Hmm. How old are you now?
I'm 62. I'm very proud of that, too.
How are your 60s treating you?
60s is good, and I know that your podcast about 50s. 50s was even better. I just got married when I was 49. Not for the first time, but I got married at 49, and 50s was good.
Well, actually, the topic of the podcast is your second half of life, so everything 50 and up.
Right. So 50 and up has been good.
Oh, good. You wrote a book called 101 Facts and Trivia about orgasms.
Yes, I did.
That's not something everyone does. What made you want to do that?
I have all of my adult life been interested about orgasms. It's something that's very integral to my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a great believer that everybody should try and average one orgasm a day.
A day?
Especially once you turn 50, in the second half of your life, you should be able to look back and work out how many days you have been alive and try and see that you have had as many orgasms as the number of days that you have been alive. So given that orgasms have been a big part of my life, my wife, who I got married to in 2003, kept on saying, you really should write a book about orgasms. I'm also a great believer that everybody should drink at least one glass of red wine a day.
Mm.
And I guess you probably have heard about the supposed health benefits of it. And so I do drink my medicinal glass of red wine a day. I don't go more than two glasses. So my wife had suggested I should write a book called Red Wine and Orgasms.
Do you have your orgasms before or after the glass of wine?
Both, actually. I try and have orgasms right through the day if I can.
I won't ask when your wife's orgasms are.
She would appreciate that.
Tell me about the book. Tell me about researching it and the response.
Researching it was tremendous. And one of the things that I have been doing, I said I was in computers, and a lot of my work involved intense research every day into one aspect of networking, and that's how I made my career. Once I stopped being that active in the computer field, I have been continually looking for things that will give me the scope to do large amounts of concentrated research. So I also ended up, so in addition to this orgasm book, I've also written 10 books about popes and papal history. So I do like to think of myself as probably being the only person who's written books about popes and orgasms. And I think that will stab me well in terms of a legacy.
Have you done research into popes' orgasms?
No, well, I mean, I do know about, you know, which popes have had kids. So, you know, we assume that, you know, they had orgasms. So I do know all of that stuff. Probably even know the ones that had problems with that. Yes, I do know a fair amount about the sexual history of popes. And another book that I plan to write is Vatican Secrets. But going back to your question, mm-hmm. and get back on topic, doing the research on orgasms was extremely fun. There's a ton of material out there. and I like to spend 4 or 5 hours a day researching. So there was no shortage, and I actually do realize that I have enough material now for another book, which rather than being 101 facts can probably be 400 or 500 facts. So that's the good news, is that there's a lot of information out there. There's information appearing daily. Just for the heck of it, I set up a Google News alert on the keyword of orgasms. And I get an email every day from Google with at least 5 items a day. So that means there's that much news about orgasms every day.
That's good to know.
It is good to know. I don't know if you realize this, but, you know, even as we are talking right now, in the time I just said that, 250,000 people had an orgasm around the world. Yeah, any given time, 250,000 people are having orgasms around the world. Something else that I learned, which kind of blew my mind.
Mm.
I don't know if you can visualize how much 14 gallons is.
I think I can.
So if you can take a gallon of milk, 14 of those, in your kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm.
That is how much, on average, a male, human male, will ejaculate during their lifetime.
Oh, dear.
14 gallons. That's a lot. I never, if you had asked me that before I researched that, it would never have crossed my mind that it was that much.
Was that the thing that surprised you most, or what was the most surprising fact you learned?
The most surprising fact actually had to do with gender. That even now that there is no consensus as to the nature of the female orgasm, and that really upsets me, you know, whether it is the type, what causes the female orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
The scientific community refuses to accept the G-spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is not right that we are in the 21st century and we still don't have an agreement as to the basis of the female orgasm. The fact the male orgasm is said to be a done deal, even though there are variations. Again, things that I found, which I had kind of anecdotally heard, that, you know, males can get orgasms by having their feet tickled, can get orgasms by playing with their nipples. I think everybody has heard that, you know, prostate massage can give a man an orgasm. But all of that said, there is no argument in the medical scientific community as to a male orgasm. Even though I think you probably knew this, that there is a difference between a male orgasm and a male ejaculation,
mm-hmm.
and they are two separate things. But that is not the case when it comes to the female orgasm. And that's something that I do talk about in the book, is that it is unfortunate, and you would have thought that there would be more women up in arms saying, you know, we need to know this, you know, it's, let's get this sorted out once and for all, because it's important.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably the most illuminating thing that I found. There was something else that the record for the longest ejaculation, a male ejaculation, is 8 feet.
Wow.
Which is also, yeah, the 14 gallon and 8 feet, it's like, wow, yes. And something else, I'll have to look up the exact number because it'll appeal to you. The most recorded male orgasms, and I have to stress the word recorded because there are probably people who have had more, is 8.
In one
male
day.
Orgasms in a day is 8. And that is, to me, that's not that great because I've had 7. So if I can have 7, somebody having 8 is not, to me, that bigger a deal. But the most recorded female orgasms is 222 in a day.
222?
Yep. Recorded. These are the so-called masturbatons that they hold around the world.
Wow, I don't know where you'd know one ended and the next one began. Fascinating.
I think the lady, she wanted to go by the name of Lady Monster rather than with a real name. And I gather she's very well known in the masturbate on community. I guess she must have raised a finger or put her hand up or whatever to say, okay, that was one. Yes, the female orgasm can cascade, so you can go from one to another.
There's a lot to learn.
It is, yes. Okay. Fascinating field.
Yeah, no, I'm very. This is very interesting. And so you wrote this book. What has the reaction been?
The reaction wasn't as huge as I had hoped. I think some people, it's not a book that people seem to be comfortable ordering on Amazon. Mm. I do get a lot of people reading it on Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard copy sales, a few. I guess the title probably wasn't nice. Should I come up with a better title than maybe 101 Facts and Trivia? But the reason I used that was that this was my third book. I have a series going called 101 Facts and Trivia. So this is the order of how they went. I wrote one on comets, mm-hmm. then I wrote one on popes, mm-hmm. and then I wrote one on orgasms.
You're a Renaissance man, aren't you?
I like that term. It's been used before.
And then to
orgasms.
Orgasms. It's fascinating.
So I grew up a Buddhist in Sri Lanka, Ceylon. That's the island below India.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have written books on popes, on orgasms, or Buddhism. So it's fun.
Marvelous, marvelous. Well, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Best wishes on your books and orgasms. Have a lovely, lovely day.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you.
Bye. It's time to explain that to a grandma. We got this question this week.
What is this swipe left thing I keep hearing?
And now introducing our new young person correspondent, Marina Maklos, who gave an answer.
Good question. Swipe left comes from a phone app called Tinder, which is a dating and discovery app that allows you to look at profiles of people in your area. And the way that Tinder allows you to choose someone is by swiping right. And then if you're not interested in someone, you swipe left. So now swipe left has become a phrase that means rejection, basically. Happy swiping! Take it from me. Parents just don't understand.
In case you missed it in the world of sex news, good news, it is now against the law to pay for sex in France. And now that they're giving it away free, I'm sure tourism will skyrocket. The fine for a first offense is, in U.S. dollars, $1,700. And jeepers creepers, $4,250 for the second offense. So I guess you must pay for sex in France. I'm confused. Happily, it is still legal to sell sex in the land of good wine, cheese, and baguettes, because it's complicated. I'm poking fun here, but there are real issues behind the policy, mostly a move from punishing sex workers and efforts to protect them. In the journal article title as haiku category for this week, here's the title: Stabilizing Survival Selection on Pre-Senescent Expression of a Sexual Ornament, followed by a terminal decline. That's from the Journal of Evolutionary Biology. The sexual ornament in this instance is the bright red bill of a zebrafinch, but the title has a kind of dramatic, tragic arc to it, don't you think? A U.S. Supreme Court justice once said that he knew when something was pornographic when he saw it. Apparently, the Whitney Museum knows when something is art by the same process. You may remember that the 1968 film Blue Movie, confiscated as obscene in 1969 because of a brief scene of real sex between Viva of Andy Warhol, fame by association, and actor Louis Waldron. No, you probably don't remember, and no one would if not for the fact that the once famous Viva's daughter is now with the noted actress Gabby Hoffman. Anyway, Viva asked the museum not to show the film last week as planned. not because she was filmed unaware. She actually says the scene was her idea. And not because she is ashamed, because the 77-year-old Viva did not give her consent. The museum says no permission is needed because it's art. Viva disagrees and says it is porn, for which she is not compensated. The show, apparently, went on. You may have missed it back in December, as I did, that the singer Morrissey won a notable award. The Bad Sex in Fiction Prize, awarded by the Literary Review in England. Now, he's in good company, as Erica Jong and George Pelicanos and Richard Bosch are all nominees. I can't read you any juicy or juiceless passages because of my prude condition and delicate literary sensibilities, but I will share a bit of the offending work. Quote, Eliza and Ezra rolled together into the one giggling snowball of full-figured copulation, screaming and shouting as they playfully bit and pulled at one another in a dangerous and clamorous roller coaster coil of the usual suspects. You may or may not yet know that only a quarter of women experience orgasm from penis-in-vagina intercourse, and that there is an orgasm gap. Women have orgasms 57% of the time in the U.S. to men's 95%. Well, one mom is getting flack for her remarkable recommendation that girls be given vibrators early. She wrote an article titled, If We Don't Want Our Daughters to Have Sex, We Owe Them Their Own Vibrators. Now, people are understandably shocked. I mean, have you seen the price of a high-quality vibrator? If vibrators are going to be added to the must-have items given to teens, along with iPhones and prom dresses, I mean, the price of parenting just went way up. Then again, encouraging girls to give up boys for toys could save the price of a prom dress and pregnancy. Then again, what is the price of a woman not knowing her way around an orgasm? A study just out in the Archives of Sexual Behavior says that you older men are paying for more sex as you get older. Well, those of you who are already paying for sex pay more for more sex. In a survey of 208 men who participated in a female sex work review forum, yes, those do exist, most men cited a female partner's medical condition as their reason for seeking that. Quote, there is an almost universal perception that older men do not pay for sex or even regularly engage sexually. It is therefore extremely surprising to see that the advancing age of men in our sample was associated with a higher frequency of buying sex, she explains. And this, later on, quote, the uncomplicated and reliable access to willing sexual partners, even if remunerated, seems to ensure that our participants can choose to participate in sexual activities as long as they are physically and financially able. So, there goes another myth about sex in the second half of life. The most important quote is, uncomplicated and reliable access. Back in the day, in our day, old folks, a Brazilian was a person from Brazil. Now I'm sure most of you know that it is a hairstyle for your privates, or a lack of hairstyle, one that the younger generations favor. Now, any objection you may have to such grooming aesthetically or in terms of high maintenance or even ethically has a new fact to add, that what seems to be a cleaner runway may actually be a path to disease. According to Wax On, Wax Off, Pubic Hair Grooming and Potential Complications, this form of hygiene leads to microscopic abrasions for your favorite STIs to nestle into. So, if deforestation unsettled you before, add gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HPV to your concerns. Hackers are scary. They infiltrate government computer systems, they steal identities, they lock down businesses, and they spy on you. But this is where it gets personal. Imagine someone hacking your sex toy. Journalists were shocked to see this demonstrated by the CTO of Trend Micro at the CeBIT Technology Fair in Hanover, Germany. The vibrator was pink. The response was, quote, sheepish giggles, unquote. But it's a cautionary tale for those hooking their increasingly high-tech toys to their computers and therefore to the internet. Hackers in your business bank account, well, that may be preferable to a hacker in your business. For links to everything and everyone discussed on this podcast, see the show notes at ourbetterhalf.net. Old people, you know what I'm going to tell you. Orgasms, orgasms, orgasms. They're not just for young people. I'll leave you with a clip from one of my heroes, Leslie Knope, from the show Parks and Rec, on a topic of interest to you listeners.
Okay, everyone. Great news. Lots of old people have chlamydia.
Woo!
Seniors in Pawnee have a lot of time on their hands, and what they're doing with that time is going at it hard, old people style. A lot of them haven't had proper sex education, and as a result, STDs are having a field day. It's amazing what a few old guys can do with a little bit of charm and a lot of crabs. Okay, sex avengers. These old fogies are very set in their ways. They're hopped up on ED medication, and they got nothing to lose, because they're close to death.
Also, seniors can be pretty ornery.
Actually, I think it's pronounced horny.